Welcome, everybody, to episode 355 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, June 5th, 2019. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby. And John, I'm very thankful to be here today because on Sunday, I felt like I wasn't going to be here anymore to do any more of these shows. So what we ended up doing this past weekend, and we'll get into some WordPress stuff in a bit, but I wanted to share this. But, you know, I've had food poisoning before. But this was something else. We we went to an art and wine festival on Saturday down in Kent, which just so happens to be the place where there's going to be a WordCamp there the weekend of June 15th, I believe.
I've been there a few times. It's fun. It's super good time.
So it's a college town, lots of great food around. And we're getting ready to leave. And usually I stop at Franklin Square Deli. It's my favorite deli shop, and the food there is awesome. But they close at 5 p.m. So I missed it by 20 minutes. So we went over to this taco place called Taco Tantos, where you can get loaded. You can get a lot of food for cheap. Like if you're in college, that's where you go because you can make two or three meals out of what they give you for like $7 or $8. So I ordered two burrito bowls, and one was like a redskin potato garlic bowl, and these come with lettuce, tomato, cheese, sour cream. You can add stuff. And then I got the steak burrito bowl. And on Sunday, when I woke up, my first meal of the day was a steak burrito bowl. And an hour after I ate it, I felt like there was a rock in my stomach, and it was go time. And it was go time.
This is not a ringing endorsement for this place. And, you know, it's not even their fault. It might have been your fault. It might have been something from refrigerating it overnight. You never know. Leftovers can be pretty dubious.
I don't know, man. But when you eat something within an hour and your body rejects it, there's something wrong with what you ate within an hour. Your body knows it, and it wants to do everything it can to get rid of it. This is my first meal of the day after a 10-hour sleep. So, I mean, I don't know what else it could have been. So make a long story short, you know, I do the whole thing that you do when your body tries to get rid of something, but I ended up being so weak and so dehydrated in the bathroom. I thought I was going to pass out two or three different times, and I was sweating. And I never felt the way I felt before physically, where I was scared. I thought I was, I thought I was going to pass out. And so my wife was trying to ask me what's going on, and I was so weak. I couldn't string words together and form sentences, which was really scary. So eventually
I'm up for your sentences too. So, you know,
So eventually I finally made the, kind of enough strength to call 911, and I got ambulance ride. It was like, it's a very expensive Uber to the emergency room. And my wife got upset. She's like, why'd you do that? I could have taken you. And I said, look, at the time, the way I was feeling, I just wanted to get in the back of the car. They take me exactly where I got to go, and they can work on me immediately, and I don't have to mess with anything involving in that because their first priority is me.
Right.
So, you know, eventually after everything calmed down, she says, you know, my wife apologized to me, but I can see where the anger comes from. I'm going to get to see just how good my health insurance is, apparently. Yes,
you are. So what happened? They just put you on an IV? And
so they gave me two IVs of fluids, some nausea meds. And I chewed on some ice pellets. And while you're in an emergency room, man, it's so cold. They gave me two blankets. I'm still shivering. Mm-hmm. And being cold when you're in that state is just – it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So like I guess
when I broke my ankle, they wrapped me in blankets too. I was in the ER. It's just freezing. Same thing.
Yeah, before I had surgery on my ankle, before I went out, they put that warm blanket on me. And, oh, man, it's – having a warm blanket on you, that's a beautiful feeling, you know. It feels really good. So anyways, they let me go after about 2 or 3 hours. I got a little bit more hydrated. The doctor said a day of bed rest, which is what I did. And I just stayed in bed. I nibbled on the bland diet, which was just plain boiled chicken, white rice, nibbled on oyster crackers, drank a lot of as much water as I could. In fact, this time I even drank Pedialyte. Oh, you know, this stuff is like corn syrup, or not corn syrup, but that it's like cough syrup. But I found out that, you know, usually when I want to rehydrate, you do Gatorade, but because of the sugars and the other thing, Gatorade is not actually an oral rehydration product. That's why you drink Pedialyte, because it has the zinc and electrolytes and everything you really need to replace that, you know, getting rid of all that food from food poisoning takes away out of you.
Yeah. So you've had a rough go of it the past couple of days.
Oh man, that sucks. And then on top of that, when you're hooked up to that machine, they take your blood pressure every now and then when you're hooked up to the heart monitor. And the nurse mm-hmm. came in there a couple of times, and then she's like, you know, you might want to see a physician about this. You have high blood pressure. But, you know, I know I'm unhealthy. I've let my health go for the past 5 years being a remote worker. And there's so many people in the WordPress community I've noticed that are on the right track, like Michelle Shulp, David Bissett, even Brad Williams. All these people have made strides in improving their health. And I'm like on the opposite way saying, see ya. I'm not going to be here when I'm not even going to be here when I'm 50. But I got, you know, with the heart, the high blood pressure thing, I kind of use it as a wake-up call. So my wife and I discussed some things, and I'm finally making some changes, small changes. Although John will call me out on.
I'm going to.
No, I cut off soda and liquor. That's my first things I'm doing. I haven't had a soda since this incident happened, and today I have my mm-hmm. first one, which is a big no-no. But
Soda is like the first way to drop pounds. Like, just stop drinking. And the other part of it, which I feel bad for you now because you're over the hump, but you haven't had like caffeine in the past 4 days or something, and so you're gonna spike yourself all over again, and then when you quit drinking it, you're gonna feel like crap again in another 4 days. It's gonna be miserable. The rebounds are huge, man. I've gone through that so many times. But stopping soda, stop drinking soda. Like that's today's tip of the day. Is just like, just cut the soda out. Like it's not good for your teeth. It's not good for your weight. It's not good for like anything. Just eventually, I promise, if you're hooked on it, you get over it. It's kind of incredible how after give it a month of not doing it, and it's not even a thing you want to drink anymore. Well, but.
I'm working on it, man. I'm working. I'm making progress. Even though it's been a few days, I drink one. And I know what you're saying. That if you go another 4 days and drink one, that's not progress. I understand that. I'm gonna work through it.
There is something that is like very human about like being sick and using that as the time when you do make changes. Like if you have the flu and you're drinking a bunch of water and you're all stuffy or your body's giving up on you, then you kind of might as well quit drinking caffeine, or might as well quit smoking, or might as well quit putting the garbage in, because you really have to feel better at that point. You're so miserable, you don't have a choice. That's a great time to make those changes, because you already feel like you already feel terrible. You literally physically cannot go to work, and even if you could, they wouldn't want you. So there's a great time to quit, but staying off of it is tough.
Yeah. So some of the small changes I'm making is I'm drinking more water. Mm-hmm. My wife is on board now. We both want to get healthier. So now we're trying to eat healthier. We're actually putting some thought into what mm-hmm. we're eating and the portions we're eating. And the other big step, which is very difficult for me, but I'm trying to work on it really hard, is sleep. Getting to sleep mm-hmm. at a decent time and getting enough sleep. I've read so many articles, even just the headlines within the past 2 years, that say, you know, the less sleep you get, the more likely you are to die early.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Right.
Because less sleep leads to obesity, and staying up late at night leads to eating food and not exercising. And it's just mm-hmm. all kinds of bad things that are associated with not getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm. And the problem with sleep is it is different for everyone, and everyone's advice is going to be different. And what worked for one person isn't necessarily going to work for another. And then there are people like, I feel like you and me, that are sort of natural night owls. Like even if I and Carrie's not, she's on the clock. She's up every day at the same time in the morning. She's in bed every night at pretty much the same time.
So is my wife, but she has to be because of her job.
Right, right. And it's always been a challenge for me. And I don't really. And so even when I do go to bed at a regular time, my brain doesn't shut off. And the quietness is usually a good time to like log into things and get other things accomplished because no one else is around. So it is really tough going to sleep. And even when I was a kid, I would sleep for 12 hours because I don't get restful sleep. So it takes me a long time to wake up and feel like really well. So the 8 hours, the 9 hours never really seems like it's long enough for me to wake up and feel like it was worth it. At that point, I'm better off getting 5 or 6 hours because it's really not, doesn't really do much for me. So it's different for everybody.
I mean, yeah, just cutting off the pop and the liquor. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Every weekend for the past year, year and a half has been filled with rums and Cokes, rums and Cokes. I mean, a lot of rums and Cokes and hangovers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I've spent my weekends. And I'm hoping to get my weekends back and do make some other changes and hopefully feel a lot better by simply just cutting those two things out. And, of course, the next step is to go see a physician and get my numbers, get my baseline numbers, figure out how bad they are, figure out what he wants me to do in terms of targets. And as somebody said, you know, once you get your numbers and you get your targets, those things are achievable. Those are goals that you can hit. It's not just some imaginary thing that you just – you keep moving along. You can measure progress by having a target in mind.
Well, the problem with rums and Cokes is that they're easy. And the reward for them is instant. And it is delicious. So how do you swap that for like going on a 2 mile walk that's going to take you a half hour? Where you like the gratification is years down the road. There's nothing really right away that's going to make it like worth doing. I'm telling you, I get it. I think a lot of people get it. You're not alone with finding something that's comforting that works for you, that helps you get through it. I don't think that's unusual at all.
I like having the edge off that liquor does to me. And I love the feeling of being drunk and having my mind not be so locked into one thing. But in order to do that, you have to drink liquor, and liquor is just bad.
Yeah, this is just bad. It is not good. And you're not alone in that feeling.
And trust me, folks, I'm not going to move on to drugs. You can count on that.
You know, and there are certain drugs that are fine also. I mean, the Beatles expanded their minds and became one of America's all-time most wonderfully loved bands. There's good and bad in the world. It's up to everybody to figure out what works for them and what doesn't. And if this is
somebody's
one of those things,
send me an email about CBD or something, probably.
And even that, some of that is good and some of that is not good. People are taking advantage of what people think good CBD should be and making a quick buck. And there's good CBD and bad CBD. It's all relative. So you find what works for you and hopefully it's something that's healthy. If it's not something that's healthy, then hopefully you've got people around you that are like me, that are poking you and making fun of you to get a haircut and telling you to quit drinking caffeine and stuff. Like,
well, you know, I really don't want to die of a heart attack at the age of 35. That's pretty bogus, but
I don't
think
anybody wants you to either.
More and more often. And I got people reaching out to me saying, dude, you know, we want to have you around for a long time. Don't, you know, take care of yourself. Get your crap straightened out. So here I am at a point in my life where I'm actually eating cauliflower rice. I'm looking into cauliflower rice pizza dough and gluten-free this and blah, 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 that, and turn it into a rabbit and trying to find, you know, healthy alternatives and portion control. And, you know, it comes down, it's not about depriving yourself of the things you enjoy and you eat, but it comes down to making better, smarter decisions, doing more physical things, physical activity, and portion control. You know, not eating a whole entire T-bone steak, you know, for dinner.
Right.
You know, maybe, you know, sharing one, split it in half with my wife. All kinds of stuff.
Carrie and I do that a lot. We'll usually order one thing and then split it, unless we're both, for whatever reason, feeling particularly hungry. But like, portion control is kind of almost really the only thing that you can manage yourself, and that will help you become healthier and lose more weight. Other than being, it's like, if you're an Olympic athlete, then you can kind of eat whatever you want because you are constantly, your job and life is committed to physical activity and being,
you need all the calories,
you need as much as you can put in, and so just being sedentary is really terrible. And then I know that is, and don't go out and don't know it's hard.
It's another one of the, it's another one of the long, long battles that remote workers had to face and deal with in their own way is being physical, maintaining your health, your physical health mm-hmm. on top of your mental health, mm-hmm. on top of everything else, on top of getting your job done.
Mm-hmm. You know? It is it's an industry wide problem because the industry is sort of so quick to change that if you're not around when the change happens, you do sort of miss it. So if you're concentrating on something too deeply that isn't work related, then it's kind of easy to accidentally find yourself being left a little bit behind. So. But I get it. I think the physical activity part of it is, and portion control, those two things, they are the hardest things to manage. And they're the two things that, you know, you have to really control, on your own and keep up with, because the second you cheat is just, it feels it's too rewarding. So you just start drinking more soda on air like you are right now.
I'm sorry, you said the word cheat, so I thought it was like a drinking game.
Is that what this is? Okay, yeah. Well, good to know.
Don't say that word anywhere. All right, well, I don't know. I think it's good to talk about this tangent.
No, I'm dealing
with this. I know a lot of other people are dealing with this. And again, mm-hmm. shout outs to, you know, other people I've mentioned, a lot of other people in the WordPress community I've noticed over the years that are changing some things around mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe they weren't as healthy as they were before, but man, David looks really good, and mm-hmm. Michelle's just doing awesome with her physical fitness, and Mark Benzekin.
I've talked to Mark a bunch of times about headaches and stuff. There are, I think, quite a few people at least in the WordPress community alone that I've talked to about caffeine and headaches and just problems with it, just issues. Like, it's important, but you have to talk about it to help everybody else feel comfortable. Like, just being aware of it, because we're all struggling with it, and for one reason or another, and it's good to get it out in the open. I think.
You know what else there is to talk about? We should talk about WordPress.
WordPress?
Yeah,
you're probably right.
So I'm going to start off. This came out today, but Joost de Valk has announced, he published on his blog, that he's stepping down from the WordPress marketing and communications lead role. Now, this position was created and awarded to de Valk earlier this year. And not only was it a new position, but it was also used to expand WordPress's leadership roles within the project. And around the same time, Josefa Hayden also received mm-hmm. a leadership role within the WordPress project. And Joost de Valk went on and explained some of the various reasons that he felt he could not perform in this role anymore. And he says that even though he was making progress, his experience over the last few months made him feel that while he was doing things to getting things done, he certainly wasn't leadership, and he doesn't want to pretend to have a say in things he doesn't have a say in. He also said that not having a clear definition of what marketing means and having people within the project on the same page contributed to his decision. He says that even things that every outsider would consider marketing, which is release posts, about pages, are created without even so much as talking to me or others in the marketing team, because I felt left out of all these decisions. I feel I can't be a marketing lead, end quote. And he also talks about the lack of what the vision is, the product vision of WordPress, and how we've seen hints of what the vision of WordPress is for the future at Matt's State of the Words. We haven't seen anything kind of concrete that a lot of people can build around and can focus on. So there's that. And he also talked about the lack of clarity surrounding his position. He says, quote, I've been asked dozens of times on Twitter, Facebook, and at WordCamps why I now work for Automatic, which, of course, I don't. But that is perception for a lot of people. He says, on other occasions, it seemed to be the token non-automatician, which I'm also uncomfortable with, end quote. Joost de Valk actually labeled this. He feels like he failed. It's a personal failure on his part. And there's some debate as to whether this really is a failure on his part, considering all of the loose ends that came with this position. But he says that it seems failing leads to burnout quicker than just working consistently on the job with the role. So he plans to take an extended vacation in the summer. And then when he gets back, he's going to focus 100% of his efforts on Yost and his chief product officer role. And Matt Mulloway commented on his article, thanking him for being willing to try new things and for his passion, impatience, and drive to improve WordPress.
I loved Matt's comment. Since you brought it up, I wasn't going to, but the last part is the part that I think is like a wonderful Matt-ism. I really appreciate your passion, impatience, and a drive for growing WordPress. Like, impatience isn't generally perceived as a good thing. Usually it is about not being patient, obviously, but that is something that I feel like I can relate to just a little bit about, because things move slowly and change sometimes happens overnight in ways that you don't want it to, and sometimes it takes a long time to inspire the change that you do want to have happen. In speaking in WordPress with many, many different track issues or things that I think should have happened, or different directions that things would have or could have went. So I thought that Matt's comment was very relevant because this was an experiment, and he really tried his best to make out of it what he could. And the comments in his post at the bottom kind of go the same direction in different directions. Birgit even chimed in. Carl Hancock chimed in with something that I think probably hits on the nose a little bit. I read his entire post this morning. I kind of even reread it a second time.
I think it's unfortunate that, and he's not the first, won't be the right. last, but the thing that stood out to me, there are many things that stood out to me. The one that stands the most out to me is the fact that he took on this leadership role, this position for the WordPress open source project. And yet there are those out there who thought that because of he was in this position, he was an automatician, that he was working mm-hmm. for Matt, for Automatic, doing mm-hmm. whatever Matt wanted to be done.
It is.
And I thought that was pretty unfortunate.
I have seen multiple people that are smart, that are talented, that are aware people. It is very easy to misunderstand what the relationship is between a company like Automatic and a project like WordPress. He will not be the last person that falls sort of victim to this. It is easy for people to make that mistake. People still think that I work for Automatic on occasion. I have seen people that add Automatic as a logo in slides, not knowing that it isn't, that it's a company and not a WordPress specific thing. And you kind of have to do your best behind the scenes to say, hey, this is what the difference is, and trying to educate people and da 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 da. But it's these kind of things happen all in every industry, all over the place. I think we take them a little bit more personally because of the passion that we have for WordPress, or all of the sort of mantras that we have, and Automatic kind of being the in the middle of the bullseye with some of this. But it's the same thing with the capital P. I mean, the Automatic relationship thing is easy for people that are not super insiders to keep up with or care about.
And on top of all this, to be championed and looked upon as like, for being a person that is in this type of role that is not an automatician, that, and Yost also says that he felt uncomfortable with that perspective. It's kind of a weird, awkward state of affairs right now with these positions in the WordPress project.
But I don't think that that's going to change. And if it does change, I don't know that I would even want it to, frankly. I think that it's probably rare that someone like Josepha can come in and do an amazing job in the position that they are sort of coming into. The thing with open source software or any open source project is that fit is really hard. And because it is a feeling that you have that when people are doing a good job and are fitting in, and it is a feeling you have when something isn't going the direction that you think it should go, or that the person isn't the right person. And because it is an open source project, it makes it difficult to fire someone or ask someone to leave or to do something differently. Like there isn't a lot of direction. Everything ebbs and flows. So Daniel Bachhuber stepping down from WPCLI. These are problems that are not necessarily problems. These are people that are trying their best to fit in a place that they feel like maybe they can do some good in, and then just realizing that maybe they can't, or it's not the right time, or anything else. It's like
that they thought they were going to get into and be able to do turns out it doesn't work that way, which or, in some aspects is what Yost encountered.
It is. It's the wrong person at the wrong time with the wrong approach. And how willing and able are any of us to continue to like try and retry and try something different again and again and again, hoping to make the impact that we want to make? Like, in a way, sometimes I think stepping down from the position is the right thing to do because it opens the position up for somebody else to give it a shot. Maybe there is someone that will be named his successor. Maybe there isn't. We don't know, and he doesn't allude to that. Neither does Matt anywhere in here.
One of the nice things about all this, we know that Matt likes to try new ideas. This was an experiment. It was a new idea. Both Matt and Yost got involved. They tried this and both learned valuable lessons. And I think some of the lessons maybe Yost will be able to use to help the marketing efforts of his product and his company. And whatever lessons Matt learned or throughout this process, you know, will probably be applied to whoever else takes that position down the road.
I like that he specifically mentioned how let me find it quick. I'm going to have to actually, here he goes. He's in his blog post, very specifically, he says that I was expecting there to be some back channels where these discussions were had and these decisions were made. And it turns out these simply don't exist. It is highlighting that sentence in the show is, again, it kind of echoes my experience of knowing everyone and working on the WordPress project also, is that kind of what you see is what you get. I mean, it is sort of the WYSIWYG of a project direction, where maybe 10 or 15 years ago, a lot of conversations and different things were happening in person or happening offline or happening in the background because it just felt like it was easier or the right way to do it with the right people that were going to be working on a specific thing. But everything that's happening now really isn't there. It back channeled through anything anymore. And so it requires a lot of attention and diligence and staying on top of like the many moving parts that there are now.
Well, why are we doing this? Why are we going this way? Why was this decision made? Well, I was monitoring some Slack chats over here, monitoring some comments over here. And I thought about it, and I was in a nice comfy chair in front of a fire, sipping on a rum chata float. And I said, let's try this. Let's go this way.
Right. I mean, that's really, and so there are many people in the course of, WordPress's history that have tried and owned something and succeeded, and tried and owned something and failed, like Coop with the working on what is now like the media UI. I think is a success, even though people think that the media doesn't look or feel very good anymore. Coop worked long and hard on making a media UI that was cloned and copied and has lasted us for about 10 years now. And then post formats is another one of those things that tried and failed. A lot of people had a lot of different ideas for what post formats could have been, but it just kind of wasn't right. How do you explain that is really difficult to put into words. And so the trying to decide when and how to market an open source piece of software is almost an amorphous challenge in the first place, because frankly, I think that Matt and having Automattic and the relationships that he has made with hosting companies and providers is the best marketing that WordPress has seen in terms of growing it to the size of the web market share that it has. And so whoever it is that comes in the next role or that comes in into this role next, my like unsolicited advice, I think, is to work with Matt as closely as you can on what you think or what Matt thinks is the next growth opportunity for WordPress, because I think Matt with Automattic and the relationships that they've been able to make have really taken it this far, and other hosts have jumped on board on their own organically because they've seen the success and the growth the momentum is contagious. It is perpetual. So hopefully whoever comes into this role next kind of learns from the summary of this blog post here and carries that into the next round.
Yeah, and I think also something to dive into is that whole vision part of the post. I think that's a pretty good area that you could dive into if you really wanted to. But Free Code Camp, they've moved off of Medium. So after about 4 years mm-hmm. of publishing their content on Medium, Free Code Camp is freecodecamp.org is migrating all of its articles to its own open source publishing platform, a modified version of Ghost. So
it's pretty cool.
The platform allows approved authors to cross-post their blog articles on the new Free Code Camp news site for free without any ads. Free Code Camp founder Quincy Larson says that Medium was a great place to publish because it helped a lot of people discover your articles, but the community has outgrown Medium. Medium has shifted to a paywall model where they mainly recommend paywalled articles, then encourage visitors to pay to get around their paywall. At the same time, not much of the traffic to Medium articles comes from Medium itself. Most of it comes from Google and social media. So there's another high-profile website. In fact, in one of the emails, you could see that it's mentioned that Free Code Camp was pushing like 5% of Medium's traffic to Medium, which is an insanely huge number. And so they started talking about paywalls and what have you. It's just another huge website that's moving off of Medium. And with the decisions that Medium is making, and you know, Medium used to be a place where a lot of high profile CEO tech people would publish one-offs or their thoughts or opinions on things, and they'd get a lot of traffic. It was also a place where their UI and the publishing interface was looked upon as like a role model for what we're going to be doing in the future. Now, you look at Gutenberg. Gutenberg is catching up. WordPress is catching up to that interface and the whole block concept, and it's probably going to surpass that. And then if you look at the various business models that Medium has been trying, Medium just, it seems like they just keep shooting themselves in the foot, and I can't see how Medium is going to stay in business or stay relevant for the next few years at the rate they're going with these large sites migrating away from their platform.
I mean, media isn't the first, and again, like the theme for the show won't be the last, where if I remember correctly, and I'd have to look at the post, so correct me, Jeff, if I am wrong, but like, wasn't Medium sort of started with the intent of trying to prove that like people could get paid for publishing, or that they could not have an ad driven model? Like, wasn't the original idea with Medium so that to generate revenue for authors, or to have it be self-sustaining with ads or something? Like, I feel like that was the whole point of Medium in the very beginning. But and I guess I've probably said this to other people, not on the show, but like, that is kind of part of the problem with the code is poetry model of WordPress development, or words in general, is that people don't usually pay a lot of money for poetry. Like, it is an art, and it is, that's why there's such a thing as a starving artist, is that artists generally are not huge revenue generators, unfortunately. And so what happens on any platform, people have moved off of YouTube, people have moved off of any big platform, Instagram, that has helped them achieve some level of success. And I think that it's difficult to turn your back on the audience that you've built in any one of these platforms, Medium being another, where people are going to leave, but how successful will they be? I mean, hopefully, I think it makes sense once you've, like for Free Code Camp, it makes sense. They have outgrown the platform that they started on, and they have a passionate group of followers that are willing to go wherever they do. And that is when it's time to move on. I've given people that same kind of advice with buddy press sites or forums, is like, when do you start your own community? Well, it's usually when you know you have a community of followers, of people that are going to follow you wherever it is that you go. You can break out of a Facebook group and have your own website. You can break out of an existing forum that maybe your specific group of folks doesn't like being around in anymore. Like, it happens all the time, but it's usually doesn't last very long because the audience is built on that platform. And so there are folks that have stuck with it. Carrie will laugh, but like Linus Tech Tips has a huge audience on YouTube. They put out multiple videos tons of times a day. And like, if they were to jump off of YouTube, where would they, if they posted all their content on a WordPress site, who would go there? Like, would everyone leave YouTube to go and follow them? Would they generate as many hits or as much traffic? And could they even host that themselves, given the amount of pure bandwidth that that YouTube absorbs from the millions of views that their videos get? Like, I have a special place in my heart for like folks like Free Code Camp that are owning their experience for their users, and they are willing to go through what will probably be an interesting and hopefully not very difficult transition into leaving the Medium community and having their own, because it's risky. Even when it's the right move, it's still risky. So hopefully it goes well for them.
Larson says, quote, "I'm optimistic that all of us in the developer community can start our own blogs on the open web, then use community tools like Free Code Camp News to raise awareness of them," end quote. Mm-hmm. And kind of harkens back. I didn't get a chance to watch this yet, but Sarah Gooding published a video by Tantic, who it's a call to action to join the independent web. And there's I think Anil Dash has did a presentation or a video, a couple of interviews on the indie web. I'd like to get someone on the show. Let's talk about what the hell the indie web is and what's going on out there in the indie web. But essentially, the independent web, taking the web back from other conglomerates, from all of the silos, and start doing things on your own. And the things I know, I mean, web mentions, I think, is more of is an indie web thing. Micro.blog, I think, is all independent web oriented. Of course, you got your WordPress.org and some of the other open source platforms. So there you have it. So now they're going to be on Ghost. They're going to have all access to all kinds of features that maybe they didn't have on Medium. And they're actually using a sort of a New York Times type thing where kind of a like an experience where you get so many articles you can read for free, and then you get a pay type model.
I wonder what part of Ghost that they're modifying. I mean, I could probably just look and see on GitHub. I could probably answer this question on my own, but I'm curious, like, what part of Ghost that they felt it was important enough for them to take on the technical debt of supporting their own fork of Ghost to get the job done. Like, Ghost is pretty cool, and John O'Nolan and his team, and all the other contributors to Ghost do really cool work. So I'm just curious, like, what it was that they had to do to make it fit their what they wanted their site to be. I'll have to check and see.
Automattic is testing an experimental full, they call it a full site editing plugin. But if you look into to the features of what it's doing, it's more like a page template layout. But this plugin is aimed at enhancing the page creation workflow in the block editor. So basically when you start off with the page, you could start from scratch. It's kind of hard to figure out what it is you really want to do. So they're working with something where you can have a page template. So you could pick between like menu, contact us, home, and it sort of fills in the blocks with demo content that you need on that particular page. And then you could just interchange that content out for the content that you need. And it makes things pretty easy. Right now, the plugin's available in the WordPress plugin directory. Although it's difficult to find, I think the latest version might be broken. So you have to, it's very much in the experimental phase. But the purpose of the functionality right now, it's being developed for use on WordPress.com to make it easier to onboard users, especially on between picking different themes. Those themes will probably end up having templates, page templates or blog templates, which are essentially just an assortment of Gutenberg blocks. So you just unplug the data that's there, unplug the data in that you want, makes things a lot easier, which, in many ways is how like GoDaddy and some of the other web hosts, their onboarding service usually does kind of the same thing where they have this demo content and the templates in place and they work users through so that by the time you're done and you're set up, boom, your site's pretty much all ready to go and to go live. Mm-hmm. Now they're thinking about how they can possibly include this plugin into a Jetpack module.
Of course.
It's not recommended for use in production as it's still under active development. And again, the plugin's details explicitly state that it's only designed to work on the WordPress.com environment and could break after an update. But so I was looking at this and look, page templates, I'm all for page templates. I'm all for something I was thinking about the other day. I've used a plugin, and I've used this plugin for a number of years, but it's called Post Templates, I believe. It's no longer updated, or he stopped updating it and told all of the users that, hey, if you want more updates, you got to pay for it, which I haven't done. But my version still works on WordPress all these years later. And what it does is you just you in your template, you put in like whatever title you want. A great example is I use it for the show notes post on the tavern. Now, I guess I could create or use a custom post type, but I never wanted to get involved with that, and that involves code, blah, 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 UI for the custom post type. So I just go in there, I select WordPress Weekly Show Notes, create new post from this, and I have my headings and the pretty much just place markers within the post for the content that I just need to update. And I'm wondering if I can create something like that, but using Gutenberg. So instead of actually a page template, I can create a post template. I haven't experimented with this yet, but I hear that some other folks have been interested in creating something like that as well.
Yeah, I like that. This was like you're saying, this is like the evolution of what is a feature that already has existed in WordPress core that many people have taken advantage of for many years. That's called page templates. Like themes coming with templates for pages. That's literally just a drop down that you pick.
Yep, like drop down in the meta toolbar in the meta box.
And that drop down means nothing. It doesn't provide you any visual idea or representation of what it is that it means, aside from what is hopefully a decent like word description of full page template or
no sidebar, two no sidebars, sidebar,
right? All that kind of junk, like. This, if this were only a replacement for that, then I think this would probably be a little bit more exciting. What it's trying to do, which is something that somebody had to do eventually, is kind of bridge the gap between Gutenberg being a content editor and then WordPress eventually needing for there to be some kind of full site editing thing. And so here's like
you're merging Customizer and Gutenberg together.
Right. And so like is
which is an eventuality in
it is 100% totally an eventuality, but this is another one of those things that eventually rubs some people the wrong way, and then some people don't give a crap about, which is like, is it really up to automatic to decide the direction that this is supposed to go? Or is it just really nice of them to try and put the hours in to do the work and have there be some kind of a head start on the development, and then eventually try and take elements of what they've learned and merge it back in? Like, this is one of those times where, just like with Calypso or the new Dash or anything else, where Automatic has the manpower, the people power, the money and the time, thank you, to invest in taking this experiment and running with it.
At least for this project, they're very upfront. We're saying, look, we're developing this exclusively right now for WordPress.com. Mm-hmm. It's open source if you want to check it out. We may try to develop it into a module later for Jetpack. Mm-hmm. And so far, that's all they're going with. That's as far as they're going with it. But if, you know, WordPress core eventually gets to a point of where, you know, you can merge the customizer or have full site editing, I guess we'll at least have one example of something that works and has been tested and been battle proven, and maybe you could take something of that and merge it in if you wanted to. But at least for now, we know that they've been very open with that's not the current roadmap of what this is. It's mostly for WordPress.com.
But it is it is distracting. Like, if there's going to be a team of people working on WordPress, a similar WordPress core feature or evolution of merging the customizer and Gutenberg, then like, there's already an existing effort that is open source. And so do they work on the existing effort and evolve that? Or do they try to just work on something directly as a core patch or on their own plugin and try and implement their own thing? Like, the comments on the Tavern are mentioning kind of how it's got a long way to go to be a competitor for Divi or Visual Composer or whatever else. And somebody, crud, I just had it pulled up here, but they had mentioned something that I hadn't heard of in a while. Headway. He's talking about Headway. You've mentioned Headway and stuff before, but it reminds me of PageLines. Like, there were a bunch of like really over the top, cool, full site editing experiences that folks had tried to build through the years. And some of which have caught on and were hugely popular, and some that weren't, and that, you know, ended up getting merged into WordPress core anyways. So, like, when there's an existing effort, it makes it hard. It divides people. And so it's good. I'm not being critical. I'm not saying that what they did was wrong or what they're doing is wrong. It's not even that. All I'm saying is it's you don't know what to do or who to support or where to put your attention. Like, we were talking before the show, like, if there's all this stuff going on, like, what's the thing to invest your time in? And how do you know if you've invested your time in the wrong thing and it's time to give up and move on to the next thing? Like, it just kind of is a bummer to spend a bunch of time building something that doesn't end up being the thing that people pick anyhow. So it's a lot of work too, like trying to build out page templates and the UI for them. And like, you know, the what I'm looking at in the screenshot that's here for the pages add new UI that kind of pulls what looks like it's probably a Gutenberg modal pop-up that says select page template. And like, the templates that are here that are depicted in this screenshot show blank menu, contact us, and home. But my guess is that those layouts are just pings or just GIFs. They are images, representations of what these layouts are, which, just like a plugin or a theme, means that the level of effort to decide what your page template is or how it's going to work isn't just writing JSON. It isn't just writing HTML. It isn't just writing JavaScript. It is in opening up a Affinity or a photo editor and including pings or JPEGs of multiple sizes that will scale on Retina displays in order to show an image for a page template. Like, there are technical problems and issues that will come up when this direction of a thing starts to go, because these boxes, these layouts, these blocks that are being depicted in these images are not dynamic. They're not built on the fly. They're not registered in a way where these layouts can be interpreted dynamically. There's just a long way to go to make this smooth and easy for like developers to implement their own page templates and layouts, and for users to not feel overwhelmed when it comes time for them to want to custom build their own. Like, there's just a ton of work that has to happen. So it's like, I can appreciate that someone is trying to make an attempt in building something out, and leave it to like the brilliant people at Automattic that work on WordPress.com to do it. But there's a long way to go before this is going to be what it hopefully needs to be to bridge the two enormous code gaps of Gutenberg and the customizer. This is a ton of work.
There's a long way to go, and you're going to be my sidekick as we travel the road less traveled to get there.
Oh, I am happy to be here, and I'm going to tell you to get a haircut, and I'm going to tell you to stop drinking soda, and I'm happy
to do it. I'm going to tell you right now. Look, I've drank half a can of this, and I swear to you on my life that after the show, I will pour it out. I will pour out the other half.
See, that's what I'm saying, is if it's the soda, then there's like better soda options. Get a Sprite.
No, I do have like, Sprite, but I wanted Mountain Dew. So
I know it. I used to love Mountain Dew.
I love Coke too, but I got to get rid of it. Coke is bad.
That's the problem, is I love them also, but like saying no when someone offers you one is really hard for a while. Eventually though, your tastes change and you just don't even want it anymore. I promise.
Yeah, I know. All right. Yep. You know, hey, I'm just making all these small changes, and eventually they'll just be good habits.
Keep up with that. Exactly 100% that wraps the show up in a nutshell.
Thank you.
That's exactly.
Make small changes, have good habits. That's the evolution there. All right. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly.
Oh, I wanted to mention something. Did you see in the show notes? I put something in the
end. Oh, that's my bad.
Jason Ball announced in the WP GraphQL Slack today that he is going to be sponsored to work full-time eventually here coming up on WP GraphQL. Now, he has asked that nobody really talk about any details, and there's not a lot of details to be had for what it's worth, but mostly since this was public in the GraphQL Slack, I wanted to share my congratulations and excitement for seeing what the future of the WP GraphQL project is going to hold. That was
GraphQL supposed to be the successor of REST API.
It is. It's the best. GraphQL is dope. Like, GraphQL is what hands down belongs in WordPress anyways. GraphQL is amazing. So to know that Jason's going to be able to afford to spend more time on it is a feeling I can relate to very closely, and GraphQL is WP GraphQL is the best project, I think, to put some more massive effort behind and towards. So even though there's not a lot of details, and I still just wanted to say that I'm happy. Congratulations. It's a big deal, and hopefully we can get Jason on the show in the future to talk a little bit more about it.
All right. Next Wednesday, we're going to have Johnny Harris on. He is a WordPress core contributor. He wants to talk about WordPress multi-site, white screen of death, site health. He's been working on all that. And he wants to talk a little bit about the WP governance project.
Cool.
So I think it's going to be a pretty interesting conversation and show next Wednesday. And then after that is sort of possibly a WordCamp EU preview. But John, you'll be on a plane or maybe you'll be in Berlin already. So Malcolm Peralti is going to be your substitute.
What up? Thanks, Malcolm.
A very, very good substitute. And then on the 26th, we're going to talk to Dan Mabey, the founder of WPN Up, which we're going to talk about mental health and well-being in the WordPress space. In fact, they just recently had a survey trying to get a better idea on the mental state, the mental well-being of people in the WordPress ecosystem. So that'll be a good conversation. And then tentatively on July 3rd, we'll have Jill Binder on the show.
And we'll talk about that one. We've been talking about that one for a while.
With inclusivity and diversity, not just in WordPress, but in other projects overall. And as I've heard through the grapevine, there will be announcements made during or after WordCamp EU about her work and the projects that she's doing for WordPress. So keep an eye on that. And of course, there will be WordCamp EU will be live streaming the event, and I'm looking forward to I haven't looked at the schedule, but I got to imagine Matt will be doing is some sort of update, half year update, or some presentation at WordCamp EU. So I'm looking forward to that.
It looks like he is. Tons of talks. It's going to be a huge event. So this will be my first time.
Man, enjoy Berlin.
I'm going to.
I hear it's
I'm
a beautiful area.
I will be sad. I will be sad to be away from my family, and I will be excited to finally experience WordCamp Europe in person. So it'll be
at some point when you get back, you have to tell us what you saw.
I'll give you the roundup. That's one of those things where, like, I've stopped doing roundup posts about WordCamps on my blog, which was something I used to enjoy doing quite a bit. So maybe I'll update the show instead of update my blog about it.
Okay, awesome. And, WordPress Weekly exclusive.
Yeah, there you go.
And by the way, as far as I know, those of you who subscribe to the show using iTunes will magically just now become Apple Podcast. I was taking a look at this the other night, and already the show, it seems like nothing has changed. Everything has easily migrated over to Apple's podcast app. So apparently you don't have to do anything from what I've seen, and you can just continue about your way listening and subscribing to the show from iTunes, but it will now be on Apple Podcasts.
Speaking of Apple, I'm happy, one, I wasn't the first person to bring it up on the show, because normally I would be, but man, do I just want to have some kind of Apple podcast to talk about all the cool stuff that they finally released. I know it's not for this audience, but man, tons of cool stuff that they just
announced. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not.
I'm totally not being sarcastic at all. It's like Apple, it's like they had 10 years worth of stuff that they've been working on that they finally started showing off. It's amazing. Really, dark really mode. Cool stuff. Yeah, I mean, dark mode sounds a little silly. And I know Microsoft just shipped like a light mode for Windows 10, right? So, that's okay too. But I've like updated that.
It's like a Star Wars battle going on my screen.
It is a little bit like that. Dark mode is pretty good, though. I'm running it on my stuff. It's I'm a big dark mode advocate and fan. It's made my experience using the iPhone and Mac OS and stuff a lot better. So, it's not for this show, but I'm super excited about everything.
Well, we'll be back again next Wednesday. You can find show notes for every episode in this episode on wbtavern.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JEFFR0, where you can read my chronicles and my journey of pouring out half cans of pop because John told me to. He's just being a friend. He's being a supportive guy. And what it's like eating cauliflower rice and all this other stuff that I used to make fun of people for eating, but now, based on my health, I have to eat. So,
cauliflower rice is fine in moderation. Like all of these things, they are fine once a week. They're fine every once in a while. But the problem is if you go all in on it and then you have it too much, and then you don't want it because you're sick of it. So
that's right.
You know, each one of these things, you got to have, still need a variety.
You got to have a variety. You know, mm-hmm. I might as well just go back to the food group pyramid and just have the variety of foods every day based on the pyramid, even though I've heard that the pyramid's outdated.
The pyramid is supposed to be outdated, but there's a little bit of everything.
It says you can have grain, so I can still eat bread. Thank God. Mm-hmm.
But everyone I've known that drops the grains and everything, or that like tries to balance it out and actually pays attention to when they crave it and when they want it and when they can skip it, like grains is once you've successfully quit soda, getting rid of it's all just sugar, right? Just stop. Yeah. Stop putting that in.
Yeah.
But one thing at a time.
Where can we follow you at, John? I've tried to end the show 20 times now.
I know. I'm not going to let you. We're like not even ahead of schedule. We're like,
you said we had a short show today.
I thought we did, but then we talked about
a half hour talking about my problem.
Find me at GitHub at JJJ at JJJ.blog.
All right. So everybody enjoy the rest of your Wednesday afternoon. Enjoy hump day. And hopefully, I'm staying home this weekend. I'm cooking all my own food, so I'm not going to be food poisoned this weekend. So we'll be back. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Say bye, John.
Bye, John.